Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. From the surface of the planet Earth, we're going to the surface of the planet Earth in Brazil. Brazil's Alcantara Launch Center and a new entry in rocket startups from South Korea. Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black, watching commercial space grow and prosper. Bob, Alcantara Launch Center, what is the advantage of launching from Brazil? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, this is interesting because it's not so much the launching to Brazil that matters as much as the company and the rocket itself. This is a South Korean private rocket startup by the name of InnoSpace. That's been around since 2017. They've raised about $28 million in investment capital, and they have been building and trying to launch a suborbital prototype of their orbital rocket. This test vehicle, they tried to launch in December, but weather issues interfered. And they finally succeeded this past weekend in launching this prototype. And the prototype is designed to test the rocket engine that they're building, essentially see if that rocket engine can function in a launch environment. And it flew for about... The engine is fired for about 106 seconds, which is slightly about 12 seconds less than planned. They think weather and the humidity conditions were the reason it shut down a little bit early. Their goal now is to build a full-scale rocket for orbit, small sat rocket for orbital purposes, and they hope to launch that by next year. They're making deals with American, Norwegian, South Korean and Brazil launch sites to be able to launch this rocket. So they're obviously looking to try to go from many different places. Alcantara is Brazil's launch site on the northern coast of Brazil. It has been dormant for decades. Back in the, early 90s, Brazil tried to have a space program. It failed. They shut it down. Recently, they've tried to open this launch site up again for commercial launches. And so South Korean's company, took advantage of that to do this suborbital test. Their military, Brazil's military, took advantage of the test and contracted with InnoSpace to put a payload on this suborbital rocket. It was a system the military in Brazil developed for determining location, which is why, by contract, InnoSpace can't reveal the exact elevation that the rocket reached. But based upon the distance it flew and the time it flew, at least the height it flew, the time it flew, we can estimate it pretty much got to the it broke space. It got over 100 kilometers, 70 miles, and was a complete flight. This is just part of the new colonial movement that's taking over the world. In fact, I think the South Korean company could actually beat out some American companies the way it's developing here, John.
And Bob, South Korea, heretofore, I don't recall their record. Is this a fertile zone or is this a startup, a one-off? I just don't remember whether they have a government-sponsored commercial enterprise the way, say, the U.S. started with seeding from NASA.
South Korea has recently dumped a lot of money into its government space program. They're developing their own orbital rocket. They've had one launch failure. They hope to do a new launch this year. So they've really committed, and they have an orbiter right now around the moon. So the government is trying to do a NASA-type government space program, and it has not followed at this moment in time the path of recent NASA, whereby their space program is a customer. They're doing it where the space program is designing things and then hiring South Korean private companies to act as subcontractors to do contractors to do part of the work. So they're not yet, they're really in the stage where NASA was back in the 60s, I would say. Where they'll go in the future is hard to say. Right now, this company is a direct competitor with the South Korean space program. If they could get work with that space program, and that's part of the game, will they convince the Korean government to switch over to capitalism space, or will it continue to run the space program on its own? And that's hard to say. They are, even as a government program, they're competing with the rest of the world, which is still competition.
The SpaceX, two stories. First, the SpaceX completing launches. We talked about this the last time, Bob. When SpaceX does something, it's kind of like, yeah, fine. You know, it's a listing of a ship docking. It's routine. Is this the same business here, routine for two launches in hours?
Makes it obvious how routine SpaceX is getting. They did two launches last week on Friday within 5 hours of each other, one from Vandenberg in California and then the other from Cape Canaveral in Florida. Both were successful. Both landed the first stage, both of which had been flown previously. Both recovered their fairings that had also flown previously. At the moment, to a certain extent, it's like a train schedule in England, but to a certain extent, it's not. We're talking about something quite astonishing. SpaceX by itself at this moment in time is tied with the rest of the world, including American companies, in the number of launches in 2023. SpaceX by itself has done 19. Everybody else combined has done 19. So that's just incredible, and I think it needs to be underlined periodically. I should also note that they have landed their first stage now more times than practically any other rocket has ever flown. It's an astonishing record. And the landing of that first stage, I must repeat once again, every manager and engineer in the rocket industry for almost half a century said, not only is that impractical, it is impossible. It will never be done.
We move to Starship's launch and the Federal Aviation. What is the FAA, Bob? I forget.
Federal Aviation Administration.
They're
the ones that run the airports, for at least to work with the airports. They provide location equipment so that planes know where they are and how to land. That was their main original purpose. They regulate the safety of airlines, and they now are in control of space, and they are in control because Elon Musk, in a tweet late last week, said that Starship is ready to launch and will be ready to launch in only a few weeks, but they are waiting still for the FAA's launch license. And because of this, he now expects the launch, first orbital test launch of Starship Super Heavy to occur in the third week in April. This is now almost a year and a half later than SpaceX originally
wanted. Do we know what the checklist looks like, Bob? Because I recall the Boca Chica checklist included an environmental impact study. Is that happening?
No, we have no idea. This has to do with them reviewing the engine tests of Super Heavy and giving their okay that SpaceX has its pins in order and ready to go. That last rocket static fire test was almost 2 months ago, and nothing has happened. Nothing has happened. John, before we came on the air, you read a quote about SpaceX and the industry, and I think that's a pertinent quote. Could you read that? Because I think that applies perfectly to this situation. I think that the Biden administration doesn't like the fact that SpaceX is successful and Elon Musk is successful because he's uncontrollable. He's outside doing this. So what was that quote again?
This is Bloomberg reporting in these last hours. Musk worries Biden officials. They fear he may already be too hot for the government to handle and vulnerable to foreign manipulation. Between Twitter, Starlink, SpaceX, and Tesla, Musk's growing clout and unilateral decision-making has made him one of the administration's biggest headaches, end quote.
You know, unilateral decision-making, I'll put that in plain English, freedom. You know, Elon Musk is a free American, and he makes his own decisions. They don't like that. Secondly, foreign influence, huh, from the Biden administration, huh, with their payoffs from China, huh? They're worried about Elon Musk. Elon Musk has shown himself to be an American 100%, even though he's an immigrant. He really believes in America and in what this country stands for, and he demonstrates it. So this just illustrates, this I think is an indication of what really is going on at the FAA and why this is taking so long. SpaceX is a threat to the power of the Washington swamp, and they're trying to harm him if they can. That's my firm belief.
India's Chandrayaan 3. What is it, Bob? And it's ready for the moon.
Yep, well, there's actually two stories here, John. Two different spacecraft, lunar landers, are now ready for launch. India's Chandrayaan 3 is a lander rover mission that is essentially trying to succeed where Chandrayaan 2 failed. That was a lander from, I think, 2019 that attempted to land and then release a small rover on the moon. It was successful up until about several hundred feet above the ground, and then the engines cut off prematurely and it crashed. And so India has essentially rebuilt it as a lander rover, and they want to launch. And they've now done all their ground testing, vibration testing, radiation testing, and it's now ready for launch later this year. They're targeting June for the launch of that, which means it will be landing sometime in the next month or so after that. Intuitive Machines is the second story about a lunar lander. It has a lander called Nova C. It's a private American company that NASA has contracted to provide the lander to bring NASA payloads to the moon. And it has now completed its vibration testing and is ready for launch later this year. I try to provide a map on Behind the Black of the South Pole of the moon, showing where these are landing relative to each other near the South Pole. It also includes Russia's Luna 25 lander, which they hope to launch in July. So potentially in the next few months, we could have three different landers arriving near the South Pole of the moon, two of which will have rovers on them.
Bob, the moon is becoming a target for so many different enterprises, both big space and commercial space. Is there anyone who's imagined what it'll look like in 5, 10, 15 years? Are we looking at competing colonies, digging into the regolith, swarms of nanosatellites orbiting for communications and surveillance? What is the vision that you can imagine?
I've been writing about this vision for about 40 years. I think that with private enterprise moving in here and then international competition, we're going to see a lot of activity in the south part of the moon. China wants to build a base. Russia claims to. We don't believe they'll ever do it. They might tag on with the Chinese in a minor sort of way. India's got these probes. The U.S., of course, has got literally dozens of probes, unmanned probes, plus its Artemis lunar landing mission. They're all aiming, not every lander, not unmanned lander is aiming for the South Pole, but the primary target of most of these, of both China and the United States, is the South Pole. And so we very well could have competing bases there in the next decade, and this always brings up the Outer Space Treaty. I've pointed this out multiple times, and since no one can claim anything, the only way you can really international law, the only way you can really control anything is by force, because you can't legally claim it. China could step in and say, we want to land right where an American base is, and we want to move in and mine the same ice that the U.S. is, and by force is the only way you can protect then your investment.
And so what we're looking at here is moving the conflict zone from Earth to Moon.
Yes. I have advocated now for more than 3 decades that we should either revise or dump the Outer Space Treaty and come up with something comparable to the treaty that the Catholic Church negotiated with Portugal and Spain in the New World, where they decide somehow a system for nations to claim territory so that they can fairly compete without fighting. My attitude is not to pick a longitude line like we did in South America, where on one side it's Portugal and the other side it's Spain. I'd say instead allow countries to have some kind of homestead system where they can claim where they land a certain amount of territory that would make it possible for the colony to be self-sufficient, and then everyone recognizes that. So if China lands first in one spot, they get that, and if we land in another spot, we get that. And that way, everyone's got a system and rules to work off of. It promotes peace. It doesn't increase violence. It reduces it.
Capitalism in space is a filter that allows the success of many companies, such as Starship. But with success also comes disappointment. Astra, what is it, Bob?
Astra is a rocket startup that successfully launched its small rocket last year and put payloads in orbit. But late in the year, after a launch failure, they decided to dump that rocket because it had too many problems, making them a no longer operational rocket company. They're basically now competing with all the other startups that haven't yet launched. And they're trying to build a better rocket they call Rocket 4. However, in the process of doing this, their stock price dropped below a dollar. It has remained below a dollar for a long time, and they are publicly traded on NASDAQ. And NASDAQ had told them about 6 months ago that if they don't get their price up above a dollar by early April of this year, they will delist their stock from the stock market, which, of course, will make it, I guess, the equivalent for penny stock. It'll really go down in price. And so all the things that Astra's been doing is trying to encourage people to buy the stock because they're a smart company, and therefore the stock will go up. It hasn't worked. So now Astra is in negotiations with NASDAQ for an extension of 6 months on that deadline. One of the things they're proposing to NASDAQ is a reverse stock split. This is not done very often, but what you do is you combine the stocks. Instead of splitting them, you combine them so that the total number is reduced, but that artificially raises the stock price and would bring it up above the dollar. And NASDAQ considers this as an acceptable solution, though it's considered a last-ditch approach. And that's the point, last-ditch approach, John.
We're going to Mars with Bob Zimmerman. I'm John Patrick.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.